And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, I am so excited for our next guest. He is one of my favorite people in all of the sports world to watch. It's Dari Noka from the SEC Network. Dari, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us today, man. We appreciate it.
Man, well, thank you for the nice things you just said. Totally undeserved, but I'll take all of it I can get. it's good, man.
Well, first off, how have you and your family been through all this? It's a crazy world we're living in nowadays, Dari.
Man, you are not kidding. It really is. And we're I feel like we're in the minority at this point that's like literally still pretty much hunkered down at home and, you know, kind of just trying to get through day by day, month by month, getting to the school year for some semblance of regularity, even though the kids will be at home, we'll be doing it from home. I mean, we're taking this thing very seriously. And, you know, my wife's got some autoimmune issues. 9 years ago, we lost a son to a virus, a baby boy. So we, you know, a lot of it's, we're a little bit higher anxiety, I think, than a lot of the population seems to be. So we're kind of hunkering down, but, you know, spending time in the backyard. We, thank God, got a pool put in last fall. The timing of that thing couldn't have worked out better.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we're just kind of, some day trips here and there, but we're, for the most part, avoiding people where we can and just spending some time together.
Well, absolutely. That sounds great. Glad you're getting to have this time together with your family. And obviously, Dari, with what's come out the last couple of days with the Miami Marlins, that has a ton of people in panic mode about the future of college football and what it could mean this season. Where is your confidence level right now in college football, and kind of how do you see this thing playing out?
Well, I wish I could be more optimistic. I'm having a hard time being optimistic. I don't feel great about college football. I do think the NBA is going to go off very successfully. I think the NHL, which I cannot wait for on Saturday, is going to go off very successfully. And I think that the way baseball has handled the Marlins, I think, is actually good. They had the contingencies in place. They'll figure out the scheduling, or they'll just have everybody play a different number of games, come up with a winning percentage formula to get into the playoffs. It's all good. That, I think they've handled that well, but it's a very glaring example of what can happen if athletes are not careful and somebody or somebodies within that organization were not careful and they didn't take this seriously. And here's where we are. I talked to Greg Sankey a couple of days ago, just on the phone. And, you know, he basically said, this is the reason I wanted to wait. I wasn't in a rush to decide anything. You know, Big Ten was in a rush. Pac-12 was in a rush. Because something was going to happen. And something has happened. And let's see what they do. And let's see, you know, what we can learn from this. And, but at the same time, it's difficult to compare professionals with college students. I think that's the one thing we all keep saying is, you know, the NFL might work. Because you can ask these guys to play, and sure, they can opt out, many of them are, but, you know, you're not going to feel as terrible for putting a 28-year-old multimillionaire out there on the field to earn that paycheck as you would if a 19-year-old gets sick, and then 10 19-year-olds are sick, and then, you know, so on and so forth, and that's the difference. And that's the reason I'm optimistic about baseball and the NHL and the NBA and really the NFL. But I'm less than optimistic about college football because of the nature of asking student athletes who are, we like to believe, not getting paid, right, to go out on and put themselves and their health on the line. And I think that's a scary thing.
Yeah, Darian, obviously decisions have to be coming soon here. I don't know if Greg told you when something might be coming down, but I know the ACC, it's been reported, may have some kind of adjusted schedule announced today. I guess if your pessimism becomes reality, and I share it with you, what do you think it looks like from there in terms of, I guess, a potential spring season? I mean, I still feel like there has to be an attempt, if at all possible, to have football during this school year, but yeah. What do you think that looks like?
I'm 1,000,000,000% with you on there has to be an attempt to have a football season. What it would do to budgets across athletic departments everywhere, what it would mean for other sports, what it would mean for the opportunities that student athletes of other sports to go to college with some form of a scholarship, all of that takes a massive beating if there's not football. So there has to be. If there's not football in the fall, I think for sure we'll see it in the spring. What it will look like, I don't know. And that's assuming that there's some semblance of improvement in this pandemic, whether it be vaccines, whether it be strong medications that will absolutely limit the number of people who have the worst consequences. There has to be an attempt with you. 1,000% there has to be an attempt. As far as the timeline goes, I certainly don't think we'll hear anything from the SEC today or tomorrow. I know that, you know, Greg Sankey had said a couple of weeks ago he'd like to make a decision by the end of the week. He's meeting with ADs. He met with them yesterday. I believe there's a scheduled meeting for Friday as well. You know, all I know is this. He wants to have a decision made before everybody's throwing helmets and pads on for organized practices. Does that mean he could wait until another week? He certainly has the right to do that. But I also think he would like to come up with something sooner rather than later. You know, I think it's 50-50 on if we'll have something Friday. If we don't have something Friday, I would expect middle of next week at the latest.
Dari Noka from the SEC Network on the line with us. And Dari, one of the most depressing parts about this to me is in a normal year, I mean, I think this could be such a great year for SEC football with, you know, LSU having the year they had last year, losing a bunch of starters. Alabama's going to be Alabama, but in the East, you've got Florida and Georgia, and Tennessee fans around here are feeling really excited about what the future looks like with Jeremy Pruitt. It just seems like it could be another great year for SEC football, and to have all this stuff kind of creep up is just another depressing part of it.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think, honestly, if we look at it, too, from like more of a macro angle, I think every year in the SEC is a great year in terms of surprises and good storylines that we don't always anticipate. I know for folks where you guys are, you know, they haven't been great years recently with Tennessee, and maybe there's not as much to look forward to as there is now with them, and I share their optimism. If they're able to get on the field, I do think Tennessee's a player. I do think Tennessee's a 9-win type of team. I don't put them in Florida and Georgia's category yet, but I think they're on their way. And I think Jeremy Pruitt's doing a phenomenal job recruiting and developing that talent and teaching discipline. And I think we're going to continue to see the number of mistakes, you know, decrease every time Tennessee takes the field. So they're going the right way. It's a bad time for this situation if you're a Vols fan. I think if you're just a football fan in general, you know, and you follow this league like we all do, every year's a great year in this league. Every year you're talking about potentially multiple teams in the playoffs. And this year, I think would be no different. I just hope we get to see anything materialize. And that's just whatever it's going to look like is what it's going to look. I mean, think about this. If teams are going to have – how many 10-0 teams are we going to have nationally if they're only playing 10-game seasons? And then how's the playoffs going to be determined? It's just such a – it's such a wild card. We just don't know what we're going to see. But you know what? Like, maybe that makes it a little bit more interesting in some ways. Like, how much more interesting is baseball going to be this year?
Oh, for sure.
A 60-game stretch run where every game carries an increased amount of magnitude, I think that's, you know, it's not going to be less watchable if there's college football. It's not going to be less interesting or enjoyable. We just got to hope we get it.
If it's that reduced schedule, whether it's fall or spring, and of course it also could be, you know, a 10-game schedule, but you play seven, right? And look like 1918 all over again. But if that's the case, Dari, would you be for an expanded playoff? And I guess actually on top of that, are you for that in general moving forward?
Yeah. In general, I'm not for it. I understand it's going to happen, and I will embrace the ever-living heck out of it when it does. But I don't think we need more than four to have a real legitimate champion crowned. I don't believe we need that. I do think it's coming. This year, like normally, I don't want 16 baseball teams out of 30 getting in, normally. This year, great. Why not? Why not do whatever you can to maximize the money that these schools can make because they're losing their tails? Why not do whatever you can to increase the interest of and the potential of more teams to really be in it in the end? Throw a couple of extra games on the schedule at the end of the year if you think it's safe. This year I would be 100% for an expanded playoff. Overall, not really, but I would certainly find a way to live with it and enjoy it when it comes.
I'm with you. I you know, you guys are talking about the SEC football season, the storylines, Tennessee fans. I know Tennessee fans are awfully excited about their men's basketball team this year, too, and what that could be. So since we're throwing hypotheticals around, Dari, What do you think is happening there? I mean, we have to have, we can't have two straight years without an NCAA tournament, right? You just like start quarantining teams that are going to be in the tournament and just play that.
Right. Well, if there's no football and cases are creeping up in football and causing teams to have to not play, or you just cancel the season, I don't know how you play basketball on time either. Let me throw this at you. What if we had the greatest collegiate sports spring we have ever had, with a football season, men's and women's basketball season, baseball and softball season? Why not? Why couldn't we do that if we were just unable, from a public health standpoint, to do it in their normally scheduled times, but we saw somewhere around the beginning of the year, again, whether it's vaccine, whether it's an, you know, medicine that absolutely can limit the effect or the worst effects of COVID. And you just have to keep sliding things back. You're not going to go into basketball season and say, in October, we're going to play this in the spring, I wouldn't think. But it might get to a point where you just realize you have nothing better to do, no better option than that. And you just play them all in the spring, and as you determine you can get things back on their normal calendar next year, next fall, you start to do that. Wouldn't surprise me. Like, and how great of a spring would it be? And a summer, you know, a summer that really only gives us baseball and softball. Now you potentially play in the NCAA tournament in the summer, the football playoff in the summer. And again, I don't know what that means for next fall, especially in football, a contact sport like that. You got the draft. You have a million obstacles. I understand it. But getting them played whenever you have to get them played is better than not getting them played at all. And that might be where we sit. And I think it would make for one hell of a spring and summer.
Agreed. 100%. Dari, last thing before we let you go here. I need to get your evaluation of your beloved Oklahoma City Thunder and what you think their chances are down in the bubble in Orlando.
Man, I can't. God, I'm just – I cannot wait to watch this thing get going again tomorrow. I'm just so excited that we're going to get basketball. I'm actually probably more of a hockey fan than I am an NBA fan, but I love them both. You know, Hurricanes, I follow them very closely here, and the Thunder really in the NBA. I think they got a great shot. You know, we'll see. You know, does Chris Paul continue to kind of have this resurgent season, or does the layoff, do the layoff impact him? Schroeder's been more than they ever thought, you know, when they got him from the Hawks. Steven Adams has had a really good few exhibition games at this point. And I think Billy Donovan has done this is Billy Donovan's coach of the year candidate, absolute coach of the year candidate right there with Mike Budenholzer.
Agreed.
I think, you know, so why not? You know, I don't expect them to be playing for the NBA championship, but you know, they're like a game and a half out of the three spot, like three games out of the two spot. Who would have thought they'd be 40-24 through 64 games this year?
Speaking of sports, right, though.
So whatever happens is icing right now in my book.
That's right.
Yeah, speaking of sports, though, are you ready to give Joe Kelly a statue outside of Dodger Stadium yet, or should we wait on that a little bit?
That was pretty good, right? And it's going to continue. I mean, it's just going to continue. Did you watch the game last night?
Yes, I did.
Did you listen to the Dodger broadcast by chance?
I didn't get to. I was watching the FS1 broadcast.
Okay. So I was watching the Dodger broadcast. Oral Hershiser on that call is so angry at the Astros. Inning after inning after inning, talking about how the Dodgers had it stolen from them. How you know, just it was wrong, and the Astros are cheaters, and he'd say, boy, there's another instance where they probably used the word cheater. How many times did they use the word cheaters? He's so angry, and so if you can imagine how angry Joe Kelly and others would be as well. Now you're going to get a lot of tempers flaring, and no question about it.
Dari Noko from the SEC.
But I'm not
Network.
Ready to give Joe Kelly a statue because he has a pitch with. Doo-doo,
I mean, technically, he was on the Red Sox team that also allegedly cheated. So, you know.
Exactly right. The 18 Red Sox who beat the Dodgers, too. Yeah, exactly right. No, there's no statue for Joe Kelly.
He's got a gif, though. He's got a nice gif, at least.
Yeah, he does.
He does. It was good. Really good.
Dari Noka from the SEC Network has been our guest, one of the best in the business. Dari, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys. That was a lot of fun. Thank you. Have a good rest of your show.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Dari Noka, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. We'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning. I got to tell you, Dari Noka is one of my favorites. That was awesome.
He got me excited. Think about that spring. Think about May Madness NCAA tournament with with college football playoffs. And then, oh, by the way, how about some college World Series? Softball World
all
Series,
at once,
baseball
baby.
World Series, all within it. I mean, it's a little bit like what we have right now. We have – this is easily the greatest August of sports of my lifetime.
In history,
easily.
Yes.
Yeah, probably in history, right? I mean, I guess
even
unless,
without preseason football.
Unless all you care about is football and you just love NFL preseason football.
Which if you are a person that just – gosh, I just so much love NFL preseason football.
Yeah.
I think you're in the minority.
Yeah, like, I mean, again, I'll take it over nothing.
Sure, yes.
But this is the best August ever. And that would be, even though the college football aspect of it, we would be missing a lot of really good players,
yes.
And teams would be very different, and that stinks. But apart from that, that would be pretty amazing. So
yeah,
Dari got us kind of going.
Yeah, you have
got
to think,
the juices
like,
flowing.
If you're a Clemson fan, are you willing to sacrifice having a spring season because it's probably going to be without Trevor Lawrence, but you get spring football, and then you get other stuff as well. And I just don't know how much it'll work because – and look, you can overload me with as much sports as possible because I've been missing sports for 4 months. But you got to think, like, you're putting college football, college basketball, college baseball, you know, women's college softball, then, basketball, and then you're also putting NBA and the NHL and then Major League Baseball starting up in that around that same time. So, look, sports overload, I will take it anywhere I can get, but it's just like, man, it's going to be a lot to try to fill in within a small window. But I want it to happen. I want to create some channels so we can broadcast a lot of this stuff. But
you have to live at sports bars.
Yeah, pretty much. That's probably where I'll
like,
be.
I don't know who the backup quarterback is at Clemson. I'm sure they're pretty good, though.
They'll probably still be pretty good.
Yeah, they're not going to be as good as they would be with Trevor Lawrence, but they'll probably still be pretty good.
I mean, the thing with college football is we focus on the Justin Fields, the Trevor Lawrences for Tennessee, the Trey Smiths. But what I wonder is – how many of the, you know, solid seniors who want to take a shot at the NFL, who are make up, you know, half your offensive line, half your defensive line, you know, a lot of the team's depth charts, how many of them are just, it's spring and I was always going to get an agent and work out and try to be drafted in the NFL. So, I mean, it could be way beyond just like the superstars we think of going in the first round. It could be a big-time test of depth of these programs.
Well,
problem for the 85 scholarship limit and, you know, probably maybe some guys even who would like early enrollees who would just do spring football and all of a sudden they're on the field.
Let me ask you this. I mean, the NHL and the NBA have both had to move their draft back. Do you think there's any way in the world if there's spring college football that the NFL moves their draft back and Trevor Lawrence and all these players decide to play at that point?
I find it to be unlikely.
I find it highly unlikely.
Yeah, because of training camps and you know all that you got to do within that. April's kind of a perfect month for them because then they get a month off and then they get to start everything else they do. So it'll be difficult. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind having an NFL draft in, like, June or July.
No, I'd love
that would be perfect because usually June and July, what are we doing? We're talking about college football actually starting rather than it actually being there. So if you want to put the NFL draft in June where we have something to talk about for a whole month, then I'm perfectly fine with that.
Well, here's another question with the NBA and NHL doing what they're doing now and then – presumably some kind of a pushback. I mean, it's going to be they're not coming right back, right? So could there be a one-time pushback of their stuff to where they play like in July and sort of gradually bring it back to where you normally are? I mean, I know that's asking for a lot you're asking for a lot of sports organizations to work with each other, but then that way you could get all the college stuff and then you could then have like this month in July, and then we would be covered. Like we'd have great stuff every single month of the sports calendar.
Well, and I think the NBA, even before all this happened, was like considering and looking at moving their start date back.
I mean, to December.
To December, yeah. So
which they should.
Yeah, they absolutely should. And I don't think the NHL has been looking at that, but maybe after this happens, you get through these playoffs and you start next season in December or whatever. Maybe you don't start every season in December, but I think – November, early November, mid-November is a good date for the NHL to look at. Look, I love hockey, and I watch hockey anytime it's played. Your casual sports fan is not watching hockey in October. They're watching football. It's just the way it is. So I think moving it back would be a great opportunity for both the NBA and the NHL that once your season is getting down to crunch time, all your eyes are going to be focused on the NBA and NHL because the NFL will be done at that point.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense from the start time perspective, I guess. Well, I mean, I guess if that's what you're going to do, then you're just naturally moving everything back, right? Unless you're going to compress things.
Yeah, just move it all back.
They're already awfully compressed.
Well,
look, that's the thing. I mean, July has always been the dead zone. I mean, it's just July is
Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It's MLS.
Like the All-Star, you know, you got the worst sports days of the year is like the days before and after, like the All-Star game. There's nothing
going on. Yeah.
So I'm for this. Maybe we actually have some sports changes permanently out of all this that actually make it better on a year-to-year basis.
From an NBA fan's perspective, I prefer a December start. Because I watch college football and I watch professional football. So once you get to December in college football, that's bowl games. And half of the time it's bowl games that you're not watching. Unless you're like knee deep in the weeds like me and you're watching the Alamo Bowl.
Right.
I mean, that's fine. But I'd rather push it back to December and then also have the NHL season be pushed to December. And then that way, and that's fall months, we can focus on just football, just college and professional football. And then same thing for college basketball. It's hard to keep up with college basketball when you're at the tail end of the NFL and you're also at the tail end of college football. So it's just like it's hard to keep up with the first games in college basketball unless they're the, you know, the Dukes and Michigan States of the world. So it's really hard to keep up. So if we spread everything out, we'll be able to enjoy everything and be able to watch everything.
See, the only problem, though, is that everything moves back. Even though I know it's football, I still do watch a fair amount of NBA and NHL in October, November, because it's still like on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. If you took all that inventory away, I guess Maction could just go like every night of the week, do Maction.
Let's go.
You know? I mean, football would, I'm sure, find a way to fill those gaps more than they do, but I still like if the NBA did it, I could see the NHL being like, now we don't have the NBA in the way.
Yeah.
Let's stay where we are. You know, I don't
know.
Be.
It could be. And also, like, sometimes college football games fall in the week as well, which I like those games too, even though they'll be awful games and like awful conferences half
Hofstra,
the time.
Yeah.
It'd be Hofstra versus whoever, but I still watch. If it's Wednesday college football, I will watch it. And if it's Thursday college football, I will watch it. Fridays, when Pac-12 do their thing on Fridays sometimes, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
So if you put it even during the week, like, I'd watch it.
Yeah, no question about it. Certainly interesting to think about. I mean, it's got to, at least as these sports leagues are having to adapt through all this, get the wheels turning of what maybe are some things you can take from this and apply to your leagues long term. So certainly going to be interesting to monitor that. When and if those decisions are made, I think it's more likely to be made by the NBA than it would be the NHL. When we come back, our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic will join us, and we'll dive back into some Preds talk. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I mean, how many guests do we let on our show that come in and pick their own music? This is awesome. This is an Adam Vingan special. Welcome back into Morning Drive, Robbie Stanley, alongside Joe Rexroad. We bring in our good buddy Adam Vingan from The Athletic, who is picking out his own music coming into the show. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I have some sway over at the station. I thought it would be a good idea to have a Smash Brothers reunion.
I'm all for it.
So that's his – okay, I'm totally ignorant.
You had no clue what it was?
That's his walk-up music? This is a wrestling thing? This is wrestling music?
Smash Bros, man.
That is the soundtrack from the game F-Zero, a character from that game, Captain Falcon, is a regular in the Super Smash Brothers canon.
He's in the Super Smash Brothers Hall of Fame.
Yes.
All right, give me Super Tecmo Bowl.
Joe doesn't play video games after 1990, so that's how he operates.
Hip-hop and video games peaked around 1991.
That's right. Adam, what do you make of the matchup between the Predators and the Coyotes? What stands out to you about the Coyotes? And what kind of a matchup do you think this is for the Predators?
there are two things that stand out. One good and one bad, I guess you can say, depending on your point of view. From the Coyotes' perspective, I look at their roster and I see a lot of intriguing pieces, particularly up front. You have Taylor Hall, of course, Phil Kessel, Clayton Keller. On the back end, you have Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you know, all of whom are gifted offensive-minded players. But the Coyotes were one of the worst teams in the league in terms of goals per game. You would think that with that kind of firepower that the Coyotes would not be struggling to score, which they did during the regular season. But, you know, if you listen to Coyotes coach Rick Tocchet and his analysis of the Coyotes offense, he felt like they were on the right side of the ledger in terms of opportunities, but on the wrong side, of course, in terms of results. So I'm curious to see if the Coyotes have figured out their offensive struggles during training camp. And then that would be the bad thing for the Coyotes. The good thing is that they have, in my opinion, the most underrated goaltending tandem in the NHL, and Darcy Kuemper and Antti Raanta. I think if Darcy Kuemper would not have missed significant time with an injury during the season, he would have been a Vezina Trophy finalist, or certainly would have played himself into consideration. And Antti Raanta, you know, was strong in his absence. So we've spoken a lot, of course, about the goaltending situation with the Predators, but certainly the Coyotes also have two very strong goaltenders, and we have seen countless examples over the course of the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs that goaltending can steal you a series. So I think that ultimately that could play a role in the outcome of this series.
Do we have a pretzel sighting?
That was not a pretzel sighting.
Oh, man.
That was not a pretzel sighting.
Who? What was that? It was a dog?
Well, as you know, I have notoriously bad cell phone service in my apartment, so I'm sitting in a common room just outside of my apartment, and that's where the dogs enter and exit the building when they go out for walks. So a dog came in and was barking at another dog.
So
never a dull moment at my apartment building.
Yeah, I was apparently just going to say, I mean, how are the swim parties? Is it still just, you know, just all hands on deck, everyone just floating in the pool?
Well, I don't know if I've told you this or not, but because of the situation at the pool a couple of weeks ago, the pool is now only open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday.
Yeah, Vingan single-handedly got the pool shut down.
I did not get
good
the pool
for you,
shut
Vingan.
Down. I obey the rules. I take this virus very seriously.
It's like the Baby Ruth and Caddyshack. Just clear out the pool. Good job, Vingan. on the Coyotes, Taylor Hall just seems like, obviously, you know, he hasn't lit up the world there, but we know how good he is. Is this a concern, just a player of that caliber who, you know, could break out and carry a team in a short series like this?
Yeah, for sure. If you dig into the numbers a little bit, which I did for a story I wrote on Monday about his relationship with John Hines. Of course, John Hines, the coach of the Devils, when Hall also with the Devils won the Hart Trophy 2 years ago. You know, his underlying offensive numbers are actually not far off from his MVP winning numbers a couple of years ago. But he did not have a strong season point-wise, but, you know, John Hines had a front row seat to Taylor Hall almost single-handedly, you know, well, he did carry the Devils to the playoffs almost single-handedly. So the Predators, specifically John Hines, know is well aware what a motivated Taylor Hall can do. I mean, Taylor Hall has only been to the playoffs one time, and that was in 2018. He played five games. The Devils lost in five games to the Lightning in that first round 2 years ago. So this is his 10th season. He's played in five playoff games. He's in a contract year. He's arguably the most sought-after pending free agent forward on the market whenever free agency opens. So there's a lot of reasons why Taylor Hall should be motivated to perform, and the Predators need to be aware of that.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us. And, Adam, we were talking earlier in the show about maybe some potential unsung heroes the Predators could have throughout this playoff run. I threw out maybe Dante Fabbro. He's going to play a big part in what the Predators ultimately do or don't do. Joe Rexrode was talking about Austin Watson. I think Porth said Kyle Turris. If I were to ask you who a potential candidate for an unsung hero could be on this Predators roster, what would your reasoning be and why?
Well, for me, to be an unsung hero or a breakout playoff performer, I think you have to have limited postseason experience. So for me, my potential unsung hero, if he can get into the lineup, is Jakob Trenin. just because I look at him and he has the physical frame and the scoring ability to be a difference maker. We know he's a big body, of course. He knocked out. Well, he didn't quite knock out, but he put Zdeno Chara on his knees during a fight they had earlier in the regular season. So we know he's not afraid to mix it up with the big guys, and he is a high scorer at the AHL level, which I always say does not necessarily translate to the NHL. But if Yakov Trenin, who appears to be on the outside looking in to start the playoffs, is able to get into the lineup, I really do think he can be that Rocco Grimaldi, Freddie Goudreau type for the Predators in the playoffs.
See, I should have picked Elie Tolvanen. I mean, like 2 years ago from South Korea, I wrote like 7 columns about how he's going to win like 4 Conn Smythes in his career. So I really should have stuck with that. We all have different definitions for like what an unsung hero can be, but obviously a lot of options. Adam, the game tomorrow, how important, how intense? Is there any concern that it's, you know, that it's Dallas? There's some bad blood. You don't want anyone hurt, you know, for the weekend. And then how much are you reading into whatever John Hines does in goal as it relates to Sunday?
Well, I think to answer the first question, the beauty of the games yesterday and the beauty of these exhibition games in general is that they're all rivalry games. Like, it was fun to watch Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Montreal and Toronto and Edmonton and Calgary. You know, I think that gives those games a little extra juice. And certainly the Predators have every reason to despise the Dallas Stars. And under normal circumstances, if this were a normal preseason game, I wouldn't read a whole lot into it. But since this is the only warm-up game that the Predators have before they start the playoffs, I'm going to put a lot of stock into what happens in terms of the lineup. And John Hines, as of yesterday, had at least not publicly unveiled what the plan is for the goaltenders, but he'll be speaking in about an hour, and I'm sure I or someone else will ask him what the plan is. So, you know, it's possible the goaltenders could split, each playing 30 minutes. It's possible one goaltender could play 2 periods and the other goaltender 1 period. So I'll be curious for his answer. But generally speaking, I'm going to be looking, you know, harder at this game than I have any other exhibition / preseason game I've ever watched, just because of the significance of what it could mean to the Predators as they actually start the playoffs in a few days.
Adam, how much confidence do you have that the quote-unquote Jofa line can get back to their dominant form that we've seen in large parts of the last 3 seasons?
To me, it hinges almost completely on Ryan Johansson. You know, I think, and Joe can attest to this, and you as well, Robbie, from coming to training camp practices, I think we're going to see a revitalized Victor Arvidsson. He just looks like himself again after having an opportunity to recover and improve his conditioning during the break. I don't have any real concerns about Philip Forsberg. He's the highest scoring player in Predators playoff history in terms of goals and points. But for me, it comes down to Ryan Johansson. I certainly think that, as we've seen in the past, I was reminded of this yesterday. If you look at the 2017 and 2018 playoffs combined, he had 27 points in 27 games. I mean, that's what you need from Ryan Johansson. If the Ryan Johansson of the regular season shows up in these playoffs, the Predators are cooked. If Ryan Johansson can find some semblance of his 2017-2018 playoff performance, I think the Predators will be in good shape. So to answer your question, I think that line can recapture its magic, as I said last week, but I think it completely hinges on Ryan Johansson.
Press Row Sunday is at the Rex Road household.
Yes,
Adam Vingan, we're gonna socially distance and watch the game together, just like we're on Press Row. So I need you to tell me what you want me to make. I mean, I can, you know, put something in the crock pot. I mean, if you got a menu choice, I want a nice media meal to be offered. But I also want to ask you, Adam, just covering the playoffs. You know, we've talked to, and I know you are working on something on broadcasters and just how different it is. But what about from your perspective, as a beat writer covering a team thousands of miles away, how different and, you know, what kinds of, I guess, things are you thinking of maybe doing differently, or how difficult will it be to do it this way?
It will be difficult just because of the access. You know, we're sort of beholden to Zoom calls, which we've been doing since the pause, you know, and, you know, there's less opportunity to really dive into a certain subject, particularly when it comes to writing feature stories. You know, think of all the stories we were able to write during the Predators' run to the Stanley Cup final. Those stories will be harder to come by just because we won't be in the dressing room. So it will be very interesting to watch playoff games on television. But certainly for me, I think it allows me, you know, to find new, unique ways of covering this game in this series, you know, perhaps diving a little bit more into the analytics or finding, you know, off the beaten path stories that don't necessarily require, you know, the Zoom calls to tell. So it is going to be very interesting. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely going to be a challenge. But certainly, I'm up for it. And to answer your first question, you know, I'm a big fan of nachos. Nachos aren't really a great socially distanced meal unless you serve them on a plate before you start picking at them off the main plate. So if you're up for making some nachos, I'd be down for that.
Maybe a little brisket nachos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll make you your own little separate, you know, little tray, and then you can just do what you want with it. All right. Yeah, we can do that.
I'm glad you two have got that figured out. Yeah. That'll be nice. Nice this weekend.
You're invited too, Robbie.
Well, thank you. Hey, come over,
I'll
man.
Get some nachos as well. Adam Vingan from The Athletic, one of our favorites, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Adam, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Be good.
We will continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Wrap up the show, continuing talking Preds. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day on what has been a great show, Joe. I've really enjoyed the show today.
It's been a fun one.
It has been.
You should enjoy it every day.
I do enjoy it every day. I'm just saying I've also enjoyed it today, Munson.
Maybe a little bit more today.
Or good. Yeah. How about tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow I'll probably enjoy it even better because we have a real live hockey game to talk about tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And then Friday. Yeah,
Friday we got the reaction from a real live hockey game and looking ahead to the weekend.
And then Monday.
And Monday we've already had a hockey game, for God's sake.
We're going to be right in the middle of a playoff series Monday. Think about that.
I know, it's awesome. I don't even remember what that feels like.
It's been a while. Feels like years.
What do we make of Vingan single-handedly shutting down his entire pool at the apartment complex?
Well,
for those who didn't see it, Vingan tweeted out a photo like probably, I don't know, 2 weeks ago now, where seemingly all of God's creation was in the pool at his apartment complex doing, I don't know what they were doing, but they were certainly not social distancing. And Vingan's tweet, I am convinced, shut that down.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. You know, it's like some of the Broadway videos. You go down the, and it's just everybody packed together, and one out of 20 is wearing a mask. You know, yeah, that I'm sure that had an impact. Vingan is the human Baby Ruth.
Sure, that's what he's always wanted to be known as, the human Baby Ruth.
I did not say duty. I just the human Baby Ruth.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm going to make you some sweet nachos, Vingan.
I'm sure he's looking forward to that now. That'd be great. Oh, man. What did you make of Vingan's thoughts? Because I tend to agree with him. We're talking about the Jofa line. So much of what the Predators are going to be able to do hinges on those three guys. And look, it's not a government secret. They know that. To me, though, like we could talk about Arvidsson getting his speed back, and that's great. I think that's a huge deal. Forsberg, I think, is going to be Forsberg. He's going to be competitive. He's going to be able to produce. Ryan Johansson is the key to this, man. And if Ryan Johansson is playing anywhere near the level that he was in 2017, 2018 in the playoffs, that line's going to be in good shape, especially with Arvidsson healthy. I mean, I think that line's going to be in really good shape at that point. I know that Johansson has the capability of getting back there. How quickly can he get back there, I think, is going to be the question once this thing gets fired up on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's every reason for Johansson to step up, no reason for him not to step up. So whatever of this season has to do with, you know, just inability to be aggressive or unwillingness to be as aggressive, or, you know, go to the hard areas, you know, confidence, conditioning, I don't know, any of that stuff, that should be out the window. I think if there's an excuse you make for him this year, it is all the transition, different things happen. Again, Arvidsson's one thing. You know, he was not himself. Being moved around, I think you can say he was moved around because of his performance, but also the best hockey of his life has been with those two guys.
Yeah.
So if you just bringing that back should do something for him. And then again, he has every reason to turn this thing around and cement himself here too, because you tell me if Ryan Johansson follows up this season with a poor postseason and they're sitting there with that contract, is there a chance that he is aggressively shopped this offseason? I think it's got to be possible.
That's part of why I asked the question yesterday when we were talking about what is considered a success for this group in the postseason. And maybe trying to identify, you know, a certain number of games won is hard to do, but, like, what do you consider a success? Probably something I should have added to that conversation is, okay, what do the Predators have to do in this postseason for David Poile this offseason to pretty much leave things alone and leave them – as they are, come back next year with, you know, limited amounts of change and try to take another crack at it with this same core group. Because I'll be honest with you, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. You look at everything that's happened since 2017. 2018, you're bounced in game 7 of the second round. Great team in Winnipeg you're playing. You just kind of chalk that up to what it is. Last year, you get pushed around in the first round against Dallas. And then with the way things were going in the regular season this year, the up and down nature, the firing of Peter Laviolette, you come out and you lose to Arizona. Well, the next thing that has to change a lot is going to have to be some of these core group of players. I would doubt very seriously that if they go out in this series and they lose to Arizona, especially if they just get smacked and pushed around like they did last year against Dallas, there is no way David Poile is bringing this group back next year as is, this core group. There's no way.
Honestly, I think they could have a good run, and there's still a good chance that there's some kind of big move to shake up the core group. Because, again, with that GM mindset, you also have to look at your farm system, and you've got to look at down the road. And you've got to break something up. I don't know what exactly. You got to find a good deal, but to get younger and to get cheaper in some ways. So, I mean, 2 years ago, Robbie, that was. What a deal was made of that was they lose a Winnipeg and huge disappointment, but that was a team that won the President's Trophy, could have won it all, had just gone to the Stanley Cup final. And even then, Poile talked a lot about it. Well, the guys came into me and said, let's keep it together.
Yeah.
I mean, it took that. That was the player's mindset was this could get broken up. Then you go through the Dallas year last year and you knew something big was coming. You knew it was probably going to be Subban. It was Deschene. I think, I mean, I guess if they have a parade here, then it's like, just
bring them back.
Come on, everybody, you know. But I think that there's a significant move coming regardless. And if it's a quick exit, maybe some real significant stuff. That's the thing. It's like, how much more do you do? I don't know if it's like a sliding scale necessarily, but more likelihood if it bombs out.
Well, I don't think you have to go back too far to kind of figure out what David Poile's mindset on this is. Remember when they fired Peter Laviolette and the press conference they had the next day right before they introduced John Hines? That press conference was essentially saying, you know what, I really didn't want to fire the coach, but I can't fire all 20 of these guys. Like, I've got to do something to get this thing jump-started. So, to me, that kind of signals that, all right, I fired the coach, I brought somebody else in. The next pair of heads that's going to start rolling or some of you players. And so, to me, if you don't put together a significant run in this playoff right now, David Poile, he's shown. He's not afraid to be aggressive. He's not afraid to change things up. And if they get beaten by Arizona, or even if they lose in the first round, like, I fully expect David Poile to do something. Now, what that is, I don't know, because a lot of these guys we're talking about are locked into long-term deals. So you've got to make sure if you do move them, you find a trade that works for you, and you're not just having to buy people out. But I wouldn't be surprised if they lose against Arizona or in the first round of the playoffs that David Poile makes some big-time moves in the offseason, and that just kind of underscores the point of how important Johansson is to this entire equation when you bring that part of it into it.
Yeah, because Johansson is certainly a guy who is going to draw interest around the league. He's got a big deal. He's a tremendously gifted player. I can make a real strong case for why the Preds need him to step up here. And again, like I phrased it, cement himself. But, I mean, they need him in his spot producing and justifying the deal moving forward. But I could definitely see him being a person of interest if if it goes poorly. And again, maybe even if it goes well. I don't know. But that's the guy they looked for so long, right? When they made the Seth Jones deal. You need that number one centerman, and they have him. And now we'll see if he can figure it out.
Absolutely.
That's some good outro music.
Good
right
outro
there.
Music. And, Joe, tomorrow we're going to have a real live hockey game to preview. It's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Preds and Stars tomorrow. We'll be back in the morning. Joseph, good show, my friend.
You do.
Absolutely. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.